Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. She's Michelle Knezovic. I'm Chase McCabe, the reporter. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos as well. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. It is opening day in the major leagues. Excited about that. But talking a little football now, is pro days going on, the interview process. And one thing that we have seen is Will Levis, who I've been drinking the Kool-Aid on. We obviously know Michelle being the Kentucky girl that she is. Loves Will Levis, but some mocks have him falling down. And a report that came out yesterday is that he's kind of bombing the interviews. He's mm-hmm. not doing a very good job in the interview process. And look, the you know, when I look at coaching interviews, that was something that had kind of come out on Eric Bieniemy, that he wasn't a very good interview, which isn't, I mean, that's important. You have to nail the interview.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that is a concern, but I don't think it's everything by any means. But that has been the issue with Will Levis and falling into some of these mock drafts. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, was on Robbie and Rex Road earlier today and talked a little bit more about Will Levis.
It's a good question because I think it – I don't know how much I believe whether he's slipping or not. You know, I don't – there's – anytime you have a group of quarterbacks, there's always the slide guy. And sometimes it's real. For example, years ago, I remember Josh Rosen was the guy that when it was – what was that class? Mayfield, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, I'm leaving – oh, Sam Darnold, right? That foursome. It was like, okay, well, how is that foursome? And then Lamar Jackson was kind of bringing up the – he was at the sort of tail end of that group. And it was like, how is this all going to flesh itself out? And Rosen, through the process, you heard – man, his interviews, you know, his interviews aren't great. He's kind of a quirky guy, has this sort of standoffish tone to him that teams don't like. Is it possible that he's not going to end up being this, you know, top five pick that it felt like he was going to be throughout his career at UCLA? Well, yeah, he slid to 10. And then that actually turned out to be a real thing.
He was bad.
And he was bad. And he was out of the league very quickly. Like, it was what teams were picking up on. It turned out to be a reality. I don't know if Levis. Here's what I can tell you about Levis. When you talk to teams, unquestionably they love his skill set, the arm. I mean, I don't think there's. I think most everybody agrees that he has the best arm in the draft. But I think ultimately they're like, look, there is a decision making aspect of this that we can't get away from.
That was Charles Robinson earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. And I mean, I hear what he's saying, you know, but I agree that the interview process, whether those reports are all true or not, you know, it's all hearsay, but if scouts are seeing something that they don't like, then that's when you see guys start to fall down the board. Now there's still going to be a team that takes a chance on him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Malik Willis was a prime example of that. Like, how many people had him going in the first round, and then all of a sudden he falls to the third round, and that's when the Titans got him. And I think we're seeing why that happened, but you still don't really know.
Yeah, and Charles Robinson went on to say that, you know, he had a conversation, you know, with a guy who's in the room during these interviews, and said one time one of the prospects walked out and grabbed a snack on the way out, and they viewed that as, oh my gosh, is that entitlement? And he was joking about it, tongue in cheek, because he said sometimes they're taken so literally, and if a guy just grabbed a snack on the way out, and they viewed that, you know, differently. He said also sometimes you have to be careful with reports that come out. Are people saying that they bombed the interview because maybe they like a certain guy and they want him to drop in the draft? Because a lot of times too, with these mock drafts, with some reports that come out on, no, we're not really interested in this player, but they really, really are interested in this player because they're hoping that maybe they'll draft to wherever they're picking in the draft. And I think too, it was alarming, I guess. A light bulb kind of went out in my head, because I have a lot of friends and former colleagues who still cover the University of Kentucky beat, and that's nothing I've heard, right? Mm-hmm. Usually when you cover the beat, you know the type of person and whether it might be, because I think in this report it said that he acted a little arrogant. That was the report coming out of how he acted in the interview. And I think it was from, or I know based off people I know who work in Lexington that it came from the combine in Indianapolis and not from the pro day in Lexington. So those interviews.
Right.
So it was the combine in Indianapolis. And I remember, you know, some quotes of him coming out of, are you going to do the throw drills? And he said something like, you know, I've got the best arm or something like that. And I guess I could see people maybe like looking at that and thinking, okay, that's kind of cocky, but is he a young guy just trying to be confident and it's coming out the wrong way?
And has he been coached? Like, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
How much of that is his people? Because they all have a circle that are like,
yeah,
hey, man,
course.
You know, you got to have some swag to you. Like come off confident, you know, you get, and sometimes like when you, and I don't know Will Levis. I've never covered Will Levis. I've never spoken to Will Levis.
Yeah.
But like, I know sometimes like if you're just not an overly confident person and you try to be, you just come off kind of cocky.
Well, yeah. And the quote from him was at the combine, I've got a cannon. I want to show it off. I think I've got one of the stronger arms that come out of any draft class in recent memory. I would not be surprised if that could come off to somebody that's cocky. And, you know, when you think of these guys, and I'm always really quick to judge somebody on their character. I don't know him. I know people who work around him. I don't know any of these guys, you know, on a personal basis. And I always want to speak very carefully when character comes into play because we don't know these people. And I think sometimes things can get skewed in social media and you read a quote and it can be taken out of context. But this is the interview of their life, right? I mean, at the end of the day, they're 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, and some people do not interview well. And unfortunately, yeah, it's a huge part of this process, meeting with these general managers, meeting with – could you imagine interviewing with a guy like Vrabel? I would be shaking in my boots.
Oh, yeah. But if I'm Vrabel, like you want to do everything to see how they react to it.
Of course. So I think I saw that report and kind of scratched my head a little bit. It could very well be true, right? And some people could very well view him that way. But I think – when things like that come into question. And I'm not just saying that because I went to Kentucky. Listen, if that came out about anybody, I know that Charles Robinson also mentioned that Jalen Carter didn't have a good interview. And he has a lot of other things going on in his life right now, like the incident a couple weeks ago. But I think that we're not in those conversations. And sometimes when we assume that that is the reason they're dropping, we have no idea. I mean, it could be Will Levis could be projected to go in the third round 2 days before the draft and go top 10 or something. It's just so crazy how it all changes, Chase.
Yeah, and it's going to change. I mean, it's with pro days and then advanced scouting. You know, I heard Robbie and Rexrode talking about analytics this morning with Charles. And, you know, the Titans have typically not been a very analytical type team.
No.
Now they are, you know, or are trying to be, I should say. So, you know, how much does that factor in, you know, as they look at stuff? So there's going to be a lot of talk, a lot of change between now and the draft. And that's what usually happens. So, you know, mock drafts are fun. Like I was just looking at this mock draft from ESPN that Jordan Reed did. He did a 7-round mock draft.
Oh, wow.
So he did the full thing, and you know the people that he had, you know, where he had him going. His Stroud number one overall, then Bryce Young, Will Anderson is third, and Richardson goes fourth overall to the Colts.
Wow.
Jalen Carter to Seattle at 5, Tyree Wilson 6 overall to Detroit, and then Will Levis finally at 7 to the Raiders. Then Christian Gonzalez, a cornerback from Oregon to Atlanta. Broderick Jones, tackle from Georgia, Chicago. Nolan Smith from Georgia goes to Philly. And then Peter Skoronski goes to the Titans at 11 overall. Now, the one that really stood out to me, because I was like, okay, first round, yeah, whatever. They all have close to the same thing. Show me the second round. I want to see what that looks like. So the second round for the two-tone, 41st overall.
Jalen Hyatt,
wide receiver, Tennessee.
He has been very
he is
very polarizing as far as where people view him in this draft class. I mean, I've heard people say his speed, you know, could be a very fast slot guy for you. People worry he is a small guy. He's going to need to put on some weight. People also say, well, he was open because he was in that certain offense with Josh Heupel. But people view him all over the place, Chase. I've seen him as 25th. I think Mike Tannenbaum had him at 25th overall. And then I've seen early third round. I mean, he is jumping all over the place. Won the Biletnikoff last year. I mean.
Yeah. Coming up next, it is Pro Day at Tennessee, at Florida. We'll discuss some of that. But I did want to mention this that we haven't brought up yet, and we totally should. We got a texter that said the national anthem means a little more this morning due to the accident that happened on Fort Campbell last night, and a very sad situation there. Two Black Hawk helicopters crashed, 9 soldiers killed in a training exercise in Kentucky. And obviously the 101st Airborne means a lot to a lot of people around here. So certainly, you know, it's been a tough week overall, and this just adds to it. But our thoughts, our prayers with these servicemen and women that died in this, and, you know, training and doing what they do every day to protect us and our freedoms here. And so, you know, the national anthem is something that means a lot to us, means a lot to our owner, Bud Walters, and we play it every day on this station at 9 o'clock. And I've gotten a couple of texts of people saying that they appreciate that. And so it is definitely something that we take a lot of pride in, and our thoughts certainly with those at Fort Campbell this morning after a terrible tragedy.
Yeah, terrible tragedy. Well said, Chase. Just not really much to say. Thinking of them, thinking of their families. Tough week here in Nashville, but yeah.
We'll be back. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Keyser with you. The cheap seats, bringing us back. Reminds me of my old Saturday morning days with Ryan Porth when we did a show called The Cheap Seats, and this was a part of The Open. Very
cool. I like
cool. This song. Yeah, old Alabama song about minor league baseball. It's great. Opening day in the major leagues. That was your hit.
It's okay. I apologize to the ears of our listeners out there after that.
What do we think we're going to learn with Florida's Pro Day? Anthony Richardson, do we think that there's going to be this, you know, he's either going to move up draft boards or he's going to fall or there's going to be any change at all? Rand Carthon is in Gainesville. He's been to all the quarterback Pro Days. I assume Vrabel's with him, but...
Vrabel's in Knoxville, actually.
Oh, Vrabel's in Knoxville.
So he'll be at Tennessee's Pro Day today as well.
So I liked the little nugget this morning that everybody got there early to watch
Milton.
Some Jover throws in practice, you know, to see that, get an early glimpse of that.
Yeah, Adam Sparks put that out on Twitter this morning that some NFL employees, scouts, got to Pro Day a little bit early to check out Mr. Joe Milton, who will be their quarterback next year. And I was trying to see if I noticed any, whether Vrabel or any Tennessee Titans people. So got to ask Adam, hey, was Vrabel one of those guys coming a little bit early?
Yeah, I'm curious on that. So and Rex Rhodes said something interesting this morning that we'll get in just a second on Joe Milton. But Mike Tannenbaum has the Titans taking Anthony Richardson at 11, which I still right now I'm going to be I don't like that pick. If that's the case, I'm not sold, and I'm curious. Teron Davenport's going to co-host Stillman and Company with me today. I know he likes Anthony Richardson,
yes.
And I'm going to tell him you have 3 hours to sell me.
Sell me, TD.
On and because I got to give TD credit. TD was the one a few years ago that and he always will find a player that he really really likes that maybe people are unsure about.
Yeah.
And he does his homework and he watches film and then he does a really good job explaining this is why I like them. These are the things they do. And Jalen Hurts was a prime example of that. I didn't think Jalen Hurts was going to be a strong NFL quarterback. And to this point, TD's been right and I've been wrong.
Yeah,
and I'm happy to admit that.
And he also was one of the first guys who pointed out Andre Dillard and put him on my map to look at offensive linemen this offseason who potentially would be available. I mean, he had been talking about him. I think it might have even been before Chase, our show even started. He mentioned his name that.
Oh yeah, he's been mentioning him for a while.
He would be a guy that they should look at, and he has that eye for it. He used to play football. He's really good at finding these guys. But yeah, he's very high on Anthony Richardson because I think right now, I mean, we can rule out the Panthers have the number one overall pick whether they decide to take C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, and then I would assume whoever doesn't go number one will go number two to the Houston Texans. So it's really up to if the Tennessee Titans have an opportunity at 11 to get a guy like Anthony Richardson or Will Levis or Hendon Hooker, I'll throw in there, because his name has skyrocketed up there. He still has his ACL injury, so he's unable to participate in a lot of these activities. But, I mean, when he was at the Super Bowl and he talked to Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow, he said that he's going to be ready for the season. So,
I would love to – I've never been to a pro day. Actually, wait, I take that back. I have been to a pro day. I went to Vanderbilt's when Cutler was there. But I want to go now that I know more and I'm you know, more involved in the media, because I would just love to see how much – because I've always heard Floyd used to always say he learned more about a player at their pro day because he just had more time.
No, they're more comfortable.
And more comfortable, and they're with the, you know, with their people and stuff. And so I'm curious to see how kind of perception changes, whether it's for, you know, Anthony Richardson or at Tennessee's pro day. I mean, look, Hendon Hooker, a lot of people talk about him. He's obviously rehabbing from the injury, but Jalin Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, Darnell Wright, you know, was it Byron Young? I mean, they got a lot of players that are getting interest in this year's draft, and so I find it interesting that Carthon's going to look at the quarterback in Florida, and Vrabel's going to kind of look at other positions and everybody else. Because,
yeah, and I'm sure Hendon Hooker will be there.
Yeah, oh, of course. I mean, I would think so. So I think pro days can tell you a story. But back to Joe Milton for a second, because it's going to go either way with him. I don't know. But I heard this comment from Joe Rexrode earlier today on Robbie and Rexrode that made me laugh. And I texted you and I said, save this, because I think we need to hold on to this for a while whenever we get to next year and next year's draft. But this was Rex on Joe Milton.
QB1, Caleb Williams, step aside, my friend. There's a new sheriff in town. I will say, like, Joe Milton, when I think about pro day, whenever Tennessee's pro day is next year, like, Joe Milton is the type of guy that seems like, oh my God, like, if you talk about impressive pro days, like, Joe Milton seems like the one that could really just blow people out of the water with his pro day.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, just slinging it everywhere. Like, he just threw the ball 83 yards on a rope right over the shoulder. How about that?
They might have him throw a receiver. Like, he can play, like, throw a receiver 50 yards. You know?
Squirrel, come here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's going to, yeah.
I cannot wait for this football season, for no other reason than just talking about Joe Milton. It's going to be – I don't know how it's going to go. I know it's going to be entertaining as heck, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Listen, at this point right now, I could see Joe Milton a year from now being a lock first-rounder. I really could. And I could also see Joe Milton a year from now being like – maybe he's like a third-day guy. I mean, seriously. Yeah,
seriously. It's a big range.
I really believe the range – is that wide, and if he can basically improve on the Orange Bowl and kind of harness that and take that forward and, you know, obviously win this year, I think someone's going to be enamored with him.
So what if a year from now we're talking about Joe Milton and, you know, we're giving a lot of praise to Hendon Hooker, and rightfully so, and Hendon Hooker was a Heisman contender. You know, I haven't looked at the – I need to look at the Heisman odds and where Milton is, but I would probably dabble a little bit right now just because he's so all over the place that you never know.
Well, he has the talent. He has those intangibles of – I mean, some of the throws he makes, we joked about it last year, right? Jover throw and him just having a cannon of an arm. I mean, you talk about some of the athletic traits that Joe Milton has, and they're – in a class of number one overall pick traits that he has. So if this year he can take a significant step in just being accurate and reading defenses and different things like that, and he can have a successful year as their QB1, because as much as Vol fans, I know Nico is exciting, Joe Milton will be their QB1. I mean, he...
To start, I mean, it could. That's the thing. Like, he could lose the job. And, on VegasInsider.com, which does a great job of putting a lot of different books together, Joe Milton is anywhere from +1,800 to +2,500 to win the Heisman.
Well,
I would put
a little bit of money on that, a little futures bet. But
the favorite, of course, is Caleb Williams.
Yeah, no surprise. Drake May is probably in there as well.
He's number two. Then Jordan Travis, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, Sam Hartman.
No, Bo Nix, yep.
Jaden Daniels, Kyle McCord, then Joe Milton.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he is down there. And I think a lot of people, too, forget about him because he had the starting job. Then Hendon Hooker took over, and then it was the Hendon Hooker show last year. But, I mean, Joe Milton is in a very interesting position right now because we saw what he was able to do in the Orange Bowl. They beat Clemson. I mean, that was a very important game where he rose to the occasion. Can he build on that even more this year? And he just has to be consistent. And I think Joe put it perfectly. He has the ability to go very high in the first round in a quarterback-heavy draft class where we're talking about Caleb Williams and Drake May. If he can be consistent there, I put him right up there with those guys and even an opportunity to pass them just because of his arm strength, his athletic ability. So, or he could be a third dayer.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fascinating. And I think to Robbie's point in that clip we just played, that's one of the many reasons I'm going to pay attention to Tennessee football this year is because the just uncertainty with Joe Milton. But I will say, I believe the fact that Joe Milton got benched, lost his job to Hendon Hooker, stayed with the program. He didn't leave. He could have left. He could have transferred again.
Easily, yeah.
And he stayed put, stayed with it, stayed in that offense. That could pay dividends.
Learned from Hendon Hooker.
Yes. Learned from Josh Heupel. Yeah. I mean, he didn't just – because, see, people forget, you know, when all that happened, that was Heupel's first year. So, you know, the fact that he stayed in it and now – you know, he's looking to get the reins. I kind of feel like the second shot could be pretty good. And, I mean, he did a good job at the end of the season last year. And,
I agree.
You know, obviously the Orange Bowl. So, definitely going to be something to pay attention to. Coming up next, we're going to get back into our topic that we started the show with and want your participation at 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. With Major League Baseball opening day today, the new rules that will be in effect – if you're somebody that really hasn't paid attention to baseball, will you pay more attention? And if you're a traditionalist that likes baseball, how do you feel about the new rules? 737-1025. We will do that coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 106.3 The Game. All right, Michelle, you hear this. You think baseball. Who comes to mind?
I don't know.
Oh, being from New York, you should know this. And a Reds, well, the enemy of the Red Sox.
Cheater.
No. Now pitching for the Yankees, number 42, Mariano Rivera.
Bleh.
Yeah. Yeah, you look, I hate the Yankees, but he's the greatest closer of all time.
Bleh.
Got to give credit where credit is due.
Fair, fair, fair.
Chase and Michelle.
The Yankees get enough credit with how many titles they've won.
Oh, I love this song. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Opening day in Major League Baseball. Taking your calls, taking your texts, 615-737-1025. With the new rules that have gone into effect in MLB, is it going to make you more interested in Major League Baseball? Want to know what you think, 615-737-1025. Let's go to Jamie. Jamie, welcome in.
Yeah, as a fan, they're putting in the new rules to produce more runs and everything. But the problem is, as a coach of baseball, now you're telling me that I can't play the shift to get the players out the way I would like to. I can't produce the outs the way I need to for my team, and it's all because of money. They won't hit the ball the other way because they don't get paid to hit singles in the game anymore. It's all about money. It's not about winning anymore. It's about producing money.
Do you
numbers?
So you're a coach?
Used to be.
Used to be. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys can hit it any way they want to. Those left-handers can hit the ball to the left side of the field, but they don't because you don't get paid to hit singles. Nobody cares about that anymore. They want home runs and doubles.
Appreciate the call, Jamie. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie.
To his point, though, I don't think it's never been that way. Like, nobody's ever wanted to see singles and doubles. They want the big hit. I mean, I remember the commercial with the Braves with Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine. Chicks dig the long ball. I mean that was a campaign. I think it was MasterCard that they did, and that, I mean, it's true. Like that they, you know, people go to a ball game. You want to see home runs. You want to see the big fly.
Yeah, and two, you know, the money point, right? The pitch clock. It's trying to get the game to be faster so more people either buy tickets to go or more people watch on TV. You know, the unfortunate truth about professional sports is it's all about money. Everything is about improving the product to get more viewership, to get more people to come to your games, to get people to invest in your product. Why do you think all these new stadiums are popping up in the NFL and baseball, right? It's always, you know, how can we generate more revenue? It always is. And, you know, how much will these new rules impact the game? Because I think, you know, it's fair right now, if you've been a baseball fan forever or you're looking to start watching more, we don't really know what it's going to look like yet. We can assume how certain rules are going to make the game look or things like that. I think, you know, as far as the pitch clock, I think most people are on board for that. I mean, I haven't heard anybody who's really against it yet. As far as the shift, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't have a solid opinion on it yet because we haven't watched what it looks like yet. And unfortunately, you know, to his comment, it comes all back to money, yeah. Right? But that's professional sports as a whole. We have an interesting text. Somebody texted.
Real quick, before you read that. Nicholas, I have an assignment for you. Reporter. You could seem more excited. Will you look up in the last 5 years how many no-hitters or perfect games there's been in Major League Baseball? Okay. And I have somewhere I'm going with that. All right, read the text.
Quick. On the text line, didn't text in their name, but they said, I'm a Marlins fan. My fiance told me yesterday she was going to start watching games with me due to the new rule changes. She sits with me most of the times, but always says the typical things. Now she's actually really excited for the season. Being 24 years old and been watching since I was 4, I do think the rule changes will absolutely bring more of a younger generation to games and even just watch it regularly on TV. I think that's an interesting perspective. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely more interested. Chase, we talked about when the minor league added the pitch clock in, it took off about 25-ish minutes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's almost a half hour of your time, whether you're watching on TV, whether you're actually in the stadium watching it.
Yeah, I think, like she said, she's 24. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the sweet spot of the fan that they're trying to get that has been less interested. Now, I was texting with a friend of mine that has an 11-year-old that, you know, he coaches and everything. Mm-hmm. It's Darren. And I asked him, you know, the interest level in baseball. And he said that it's the video games and YouTube that is how they're not watching games. And no, they get stuff from watching stuff on YouTube and the video games. But it's not like it was with people my age of that, you know, you go to a game or you watch on TV and you know. Now, something that came up on the text line earlier that I do think is a good point. My generation, and the reason that I'm a Braves fan and a lot of people are Braves fans around here or Cubs fans is because the Braves were on TBS and the Cubs were on WGN. And so you could, wherever you were in the country, you could watch those two teams.
Yeah.
That helped a lot. Now, it's not that way. You have the regional networks like everybody else where you're watching on Bally or what have you and whatever team you're in. Now you can get the baseball package and watch any team. You know, one thing that was so much fun for me when I started my career is we had it here. And so I would work late nights and overnights and I'd watch the Dodgers and listen to Vin Scully. And, you know, so you can do that. But now, you know, ESPN has a package where they'll show you a national game and Bally, TBS and you know, I'm talking about cable, national games, but Bally, it's all regional. So it's like wherever you live, that's the team you're going to see. So I think that, you know, that certainly had something to do with it too.
Yeah, Chase, I think it's everything. I think it's, you know, my generation, we're about 10 years apart. And we were talking about this in the break where
we didn't need to bring that up.
Sorry, Chase. I grew up and I watched baseball with my brother and my stepdad and our family and My grandpa was a huge Red Sox fan, so we watched it growing up. But, you know, once I started to get into middle school, a lot of those things changed because that's when iPhones came into play and so much social media and, you know, your attention span and the amount of different, like, things you had access to, right? Facebook and Snapchat and all of these things, I think they just add something, right? You said that the Cubs and the Braves, they were one of the, you know, two teams that you could actually watch here. Now you can watch whatever you want at the palm of your hands, whether it's on a computer, whether it's on an iPhone. And, you know, to Darren's point, he has a young kid. He said all these kids watch him on YouTube or they play their baseball game. Shout out Backyard Baseball, which was the best game ever.
Loved
playing baseball. That when I was younger. But it's just the fact that we have so many more things to distract people, and now baseball has to compete with all of those things. And I think the product isn't at the level, just as far as entertainment value, watching it on the screen, that other things are. I mean, you can watch it in, like, sped up on YouTube or things like that. So, you know, unfortunately, you do have to change the game to, you know, appeal to a bigger audience and to make people watch it more on television.
Yeah, and you know, I think that to this texter's point, give me someone who hits 330 to 350 rather than a 270 player with 40 to 50 home runs. It's all about winning, getting players on base to allow the opportunity to score more runs. That's why they're taking the shift out. Essentially,
mm-hmm.
and look, now I like that. I don't want to see seven home runs in a game. I want to see baseball. I want to see, you know, like I was very hesitant about the DH coming into the National League because I like small ball. I like bunting. I like moving a guy over. You know, I like the strategy involved in that. And so
this isn't a home run derby,
right? So I do agree of. Let's get on base. Let's get, you know, have two or three runners, and you have to, as the pitcher, you have to figure out how to get them out. All right, let's go to the reporter. He has done his research.
Yes. So I have counted up 42 no-hitters, and I also, obviously, there's 23 perfect games ever, but I wanted to look at how many there were kind of recently. So since 2010, there have been 4 perfect games.
Okay.
But the 42 no-hitters to me is very interesting because the later you get up until now, there's actually been quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was asking you to do it because I feel like we've seen more recently, and I'm wondering if that's going to go down now with these new rules. Because, I mean, these rules are more in favor of the hitter and not the pitcher.
Yeah, and, of course.
You know, so, I mean, you're taking away the pickoff essentially. Like, you're
what are we seeing in every sport? Everybody wants more offense.
They want more
whether
offense.
It be basketball, whether it be football, whether now it be baseball, right? That is what people want to see it. They want more points on the board. We're seeing it across all sports right now, Chase. So a part of me is not really surprised.
I feel like during the break I got to show you the Chicks Dig the Long Ball commercial. That was a great one back in the day. But we'll continue to take your calls and texts on this. How do you feel about the new MLB rules? 615-737-1025, it's Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Time to chop for the A. Get another World Series. 2 in 3 years, I would take that. Last year came up a little short, that's okay.
Well,
let's
get
another one.
You guys were struggling for about 30 years, so.
No, the 90s were pretty good.
Well, before that.
Yeah, before that. The 90s were okay. It's been, there was a little bit of a gap in between, but we'll see. For the A, opening day in the major, 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you and your thoughts on the new baseball rules. Is it going to get you more interested in Major League Baseball? But, hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow night at 635 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds have their home opener at First Horizon Park against the Louisville Bats, AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza and Family Leisure. Now, if I am reading all of this correctly, Reds first baseman Joey Votto is going to start the year on the DL, but he's going to be rehabbing with the Louisville Bats, which means he could be playing tomorrow night against
the
Sounds.
That's always cool when somebody's on a rehab assignment.
Like, oh yeah,
I mentioned a family friend of ours, Ian Anderson. He was third overall in 2016, somewhere then. And he was with the Gwinnett Stripers. And yeah. I got to see him come pitch here for the Sounds. And Ryan and I have gone to a couple of the White Sox affiliates here, the Sounds. It's cool whenever you find out guy's on a rehab assignment, you get to watch him.
And Ian is with the Stripers. So
yeah, he is. He's with them now.
Yeah, so the baby Braves, as I like to call them. But looking forward to that. So I will be taking – I hope the weather can cooperate tomorrow. I know the weather might be a little iffy.
It's supposed to rain all day. Yeah,
it's supposed to be kind of bad.
Nashville, can we get it together and just pick one?
No, we can't. 615-737-1025. Tim wants to weigh in. Welcome in, Tim.
Morning, Tim.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
The guy from West Tennessee that called Rondo said that more people are playing soccer. There's a very easy reason why. You can get a $15 soccer ball and throw it out there and have a game. You go start buying baseball equipment. You know, bats are $500 to $1,000. You buy a glove. You have to buy cleats. That's the reason a lot of people are going away from it.
That is interesting point, Tim. Thank you for the call. That I think that is spot on, because that's another thing, you know, Dee and I have talked about, that it's so – I mean, think about, like, hockey's expensive because of all the equipment, especially if you're a goalie. You know, if you're a catcher in baseball, you got to buy all that extra equipment. But gloves aren't cheap. Bats – I mean,
and everything's just getting more expensive. I mean, you just talk about inflation in general. Everything's getting more expensive, too. And, I mean, he makes a good point. And it's something – I mean, neither of us have kids right now, but it's something, if you're a parent, I mean, people probably talk about it all the time. I mean, and then you think of, if your kid wants to do a travel league and something, then that's, you know, you're paying to travel and you're paying to play year-round baseball and fall ball.
It's an investment.
It's so much. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And then if your kid likes it for, you know, a year and a half and you bought him a $300, $400 bat and then he's like, I don't really want to play it anymore.
And the thing is, like, I think back in the day, you could pick a bat up at like 10 years old and then, you know, go to college or go to, you know, be good enough to get looked at by, you know, a major league organization. Now you kind of have to start at like three.
In every sport.
I know, you know, people my age that have boys. And they're about 3 years old, and they are, or girls actually, both genders. They have them in front of a tee, and it's like that's where you got to start. And you know, Maddox, Darren's son, was about three or four, and they start playing t-ball, and it feels like with anything, you have to start early for them to really get it, and then they decide if they like it as they get older.
And if you don't, you're behind.
Yeah,
because everyone is. And I think that's a testament, too, to how much sports have just grown. I mean, we've talked about baseball pretty much throughout the entire show today and it being traditionally America's pastime, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Baseball was it. Everyone played baseball. But now sports like hockey and basketball, it's expanding more, and those sports are becoming more and more popular as well. I mean, you talk about, you know, AAU in basketball, that's a whole nother entity. And then you talk about football and 7v7. And now it's not that you could play football in the fall and then you could play baseball in the spring and the summer. You pick one sport now and you're playing that year round because they have programs where these young kids, if you don't play year round and you're a football kid, you don't play 7v7, you're behind. So we've gotten to a point where sports have become, first off, so competitive, and there's been so many, you know, clubs and groups that you could be a part of, and you're forced to choose. If you like baseball and you also like football and you're a young kid, well, if you want to be competitive in one of them and try to go to college or play at an elite level in high school, you have to choose one. It's very rare that we're able to see young kids be able to do both because, well, if you don't play fall ball, Chase, you're already behind.
Yeah, but I hate that though, because you know one thing that I know that I have picked up working with, you know, Willie and Darren and George and Joe Dubin and Greg Pogue, all these guys over the years, is your kids need to play multiple sports. That there is a huge benefit to going from football to basketball to baseball to track to wrestling to whatever. And, you know, like Willie was a two-sport athlete. He played both at Vanderbilt. He played basketball and baseball collegiately. And
then in the minors.
And you don't see that as much anymore. You know, like, gone are the days of the Ken Griffey Juniors, or not King, I don't know why I say King Griffey Jr., but gone are the days of the Deion Sanders that would play for the Braves or the Reds and then play for the Cowboys or the Redskins or what have you. And, like, that was so cool. Bo Jackson, like, I love the two-sport athlete. But now you're right. Like, there's so much money involved in it and things are so expensive that you have to choose because you have to devote 365 to it. And I hate that. Like, I think kids should be able to play at least two. But, you know, I mean, a lot of my friends and we, it was from the start of the school year to the end of the school year, and you were playing three sports.
This is going to be an ongoing topic all summer long, Chaser.
Yes, it is. That is going to do it for us today, but don't you go anywhere. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace are coming up next. They're going to talk about Jordan Reed's seven-round draft to lead things off. Happy opening day. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.